from Vermont Public Radio. This is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Tuesday, May 19th. Today on the podcast, getting tested for COVID-19.
We watch as a medic sticks a long, flexible probe up a woman's nose.
First, today's headlines.
The health department reported no new cases of COVID-19 on Monday, despite conducting 700 tests the day before. In all, 940 people have tested positive in Vermont, and 54 people have died with the disease. And today marks exactly 2 months since the state reported the first two deaths. Three people are currently hospitalized with COVID-19, and 815 people have recovered.
The number of coronavirus cases in Vermont is growing at the slowest rate of all U.S. states. Governor Phil Scott says this is thanks to how well Vermonters have been following health guidelines. And Scott says he'll unveil a large economic package tomorrow to help the state recover from the pandemic.
The Agency of Natural Resources says it's hoping to soon open many state parks. Though, like everything else these days, there are going to be restrictions this summer. Visitors will have to wear masks, and only tent camping will be allowed. Cottages and cabins won't be rented this summer.
Henry, you know that saying from Mr. Rogers about looking for the helpers?
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Well, here in Vermont, you'll find a lot of those helpers loosely banded together in towns, ready to meet whatever needs arise during the COVID-19 pandemic. These groups formed quickly when the crisis hit, and as Peter Hirschfeld reports, they're now turning their focus toward longer-term recovery.
Like a lot of Vermont towns, Bethel sits on the steep banks of a wide river that used to power the saw and grist mills that fueled the local economy. The water wheels here don't turn anymore, but the hardscrabble ethic that built this town apparently still does.
I think one of the things that makes Bethel Bethel these days is its scrappiness, the willingness of people to come out and do what needs to be done and find really creative ways of solving local problems.
Rebecca Sanborn Stone stands on Bethel's historic Main Street with a small red stapler in her right hand. Sanborn Stone is part of a new and informal group of local residents called Bethel Strong, and on this cold and blustery afternoon, she's tacking flyers onto a piece of white corkboard in the center of town.
And a big focus here on Bethel has been getting information out to people about all the services and resources. And one of the best ways to do that is a good old-fashioned bulletin board.
There are web addresses for community resources, email contacts for services, even a local hotline the group set up that's usually answered by a Bethel Strong coordinator.
And she'll ask how we can help. Do you need groceries delivered? Do you need food? Do you need to chat and have a friendly voice? Do you need information about unemployment or where to go to get assistance with housing and rent?
Sanborn Stone says local volunteers created this COVID response team from whole cloth as soon as the severity of the crisis became apparent. 2 months into the pandemic, their eyes have turned to a longer horizon.
It's so hard to predict what this is going to look like and what the needs will be and what kind of response will be required. I don't think anyone knows that right now.
Versions of Bethel Strong have cropped up in communities across Vermont over the past 8 weeks, like in Bradford, where Monique Priestley greets me at the co-working space she founded in 2018.
Hey.
Monique, I presume?
Yeah, hey.
Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. And I know it's cold in here because of...
Priestley has served on local municipal boards and civic organizations in Bradford since she graduated college in 2009. She says she inherited the volunteerism gene from her mom.
She volunteered at this, like, the library and the church and, like, did the parade and stuff like that. So we were always we grew up being the helpers.
So when COVID-19 began to threaten the health and livelihoods of people in Bradford, Priestley put out the calls for volunteers. Within days, more than 120 people signed on.
Like, there's a lot of names that have signed up that are, like, high schoolers, families that I know have never really been engaged, and then some, like, older people that live, like, in the back roads that haven't been engaged, which is kind of cool.
They now have weekly Zoom calls, and the group has become an officially designated town commission. So far, at least, Priestley says there's more volunteers than people asking for their help.
Like, we thought people would be banging down on the call line just begging for help, and we have not seen that.
But Paul Costello with the Vermont Council on Rural Development says the economic effects of the coronavirus pandemic have only begun to manifest. His organization is working with 45 mutual aid groups across Vermont, and he says they could play a key role in helping communities respond to the challenges ahead.
We've got broad unemployment. We have whole sectors that are challenged, everything from the dairy economy to our restaurants, and that people are going to have to rally to support the future of our economy.
That future is tenuous right now. More than 100,000 Vermonters have filed for unemployment since mid-March, and stay-home orders have cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars in economic activity. Mutual aid groups are operating on a shoestring for the most part, and they generally haven't asked for much in the way of state or town funding. But Rebecca Sanborn Stone from Bethel Strong says COVID-19 response groups can provide the, quote, civic infrastructure to recover from those COVID-related losses. And Costello says the very act of banding together is reason for optimism.
But it gives you faith that Vermonters are ready to step up, that Vermonters are ready to volunteer and lend a hand to their neighbors. And it's fundamental to who we are.
For VPR News, I'm Peter Hirschfeld.
So we live in one of a handful of states that has enough capacity to invite even people who don't have any symptoms to get tested for COVID-19. So if you want to get tested, you can get tested free of charge. And so far, the state has offered those tests at 11 different sites. And the goal is to check 1,000 people a day for the coronavirus. So over the weekend, reporter Emily Corwin and her spouse went to get tested in Colchester. Here's Emily.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I assume you're here for the COVID testing?
Yes, we are.
So I'm buckled into the passenger seat, and my wife Ella is driving. Maybe six men and women in National Guard uniforms direct our line of cars. We don't have symptoms, thank goodness. When the results come in, most likely tomorrow, we're planning to spend a little time with family members we haven't seen in a while. They're getting tested today, too.
Did you pre-register online?
Yes.
Okay, for what time?
9:45.
We had to sign up ahead of time. We filled out a form with basic information like birth dates and email addresses. No one asked us about health insurance, though. Not here and not on the form. This is on the state's dime.
All right. What I'm going to ask you to do is move down lane 3. It's the second of the two center lanes.
Up ahead, about a dozen medics move between four dark green tents and cars. And they're completely covered in medical gear. We're talking shower caps, masks, face shields, gowns, gloves. They're even wearing booties over their feet.
This is the first time I've actually seen and interacted with people in full PPE. You know, like,
yeah.
I've seen these photos online.
It's like those movies about alien abductions.
Yes.
Where you, like, wake up and, like, everybody looks like that.
Or those movies about pandemics.
That's right.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, there's somebody.
We watch as a medic sticks a long, flexible probe up a woman's nose.
Oh, that goes in real deep. Are you feeling nervous?
A little bit.
I am a total weenie. I hate being uncomfortable. But as we wait, I think about how much scarier this would be if we had symptoms or underlying conditions and we were worried about having COVID-19.
Hi, my name's Tim. I'm going to be doing your testing today. I will let you know it is a little uncomfortable during and before, or after, sorry. Would you like to still go ahead with the testing?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm just going to have you pull your mask down and tilt your head back and your nose up, and we'll go ahead with the testing.
Ow. Okay.
So that burning will go away after a little bit.
It definitely burns.
Oh, boy. Worth going second.
I'll just have you put your head back and your nose up.
Oh, gross.
You guys have a wonderful day.
Great. Thanks, you too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That made me tear up a little bit.
Yeah. I only cried out of the one eye.
Yes, me too. It wasn't actually that bad.
No, it's not that bad. Makes me want to sneeze.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bless you.
For VPR News, I'm Emily Corwin.
Have you seen those swabs? Like, can you imagine one of those things going up your nose?
I don't want to think about it. Yeah, feels gross. Anyways, if you do want to get tested or need to get tested, there are 8 temporary testing sites that are going up this week. You've got to register, though, and right now there's only space left at the Newport site on Thursday. The health department is planning more testing events in the future, though.
Well, Henry, if on your way to get your COVID-19 test, you find yourself driving past a pond or a wetland, be careful. It's nesting season for turtles. They'll often cross the road to find a better place to lay their eggs, but because they're turtles, they're kind of slow, and they can't really get out of the way of cars. So if you happen to spy a turtle, the Fish and Wildlife Department wants you to pull over and give it a helping hand to the side of the road it was headed for.
All right, good to know. Well, the Eye in the Sky forecast today, sunshine mixed with a few afternoon clouds, highs in the 60s. Thanks for listening to The Frequency. If you have feedback for the show or just want to get in touch, you can email us at thefrequency@vpr.org. And you can also find us on Twitter. I'm at the Henry Epp.
And I'm at Anna S. Van Dyne. We had reporting today from Emily Corwin, Peter Hirschfeld, and Karen Anderson. Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions, and our executive producer is Mark Davis. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne.
Am I?
Not loud enough.
Am I?
I think so.